Hey, Sister Amon, are you thankful today?
I am.
What are you thankful for?
I told you that. Hello, Saints. I just told Brother Two Post that I'm thankful for a parking spot, and it's flat.
A flat one, and nice and quiet, too.
Yeah.
Hey, we hope you're all doing well. We are bringing you our audio, and today we had to make some change of plans.
We were
headed out of town, and we were going to head a couple-hour drive to a preach. Then we looked at the weather, and we saw the weather's really going to be suspect where we're going. So we decided to be flexible. And what did we do, Sister Amon? Last minute, we made changes, so...
Well, I was just thinking, here we are driving down the road, and then we look at the weather, and then all of a sudden, we were, like, close to a town we were going to go through, and we just stopped.
Yeah.
And we stayed.
Yeah, we checked out online. And then we actually found another festival going on that's closer to where some brothers live, so they'll have to drive less far, and we'll get to go back to the area we're in. So I think it's going to work out pretty good.
Yeah, let's see.
And so we did that. So we're held over in a town tonight. It's supposed to be rainy tomorrow. Then we're going to head closer to that town tomorrow. So I guess that would be a good topic, being flexible. What do you think about that? Especially in ministry and van life.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the Christian life, you have to be flexible, because when you're first born again, sisters, don't you have to, like, be able to stop and drop? As soon as you read something in the scriptures, it's
a lot of
usually
flesh to kill.
Dropping your old life, you know, so you got to be really flexible there. And then in ministry, and like Brother Tupo said, in van life, you really have to be flexible, like, sometimes every minute.
I think the biggest reason we got to be flexible is that our lives are not our own, they're Christ's.
Yeah.
And so we're servants, we're doulos, we're slaves to Christ, so he may want us to go a different direction, so we got to just say, okay, your will be done.
Yeah.
Not my will be done, but God's will be done. Maybe you have an example of looking for a shirt.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, so we've been looking for like a medium weight, long sleeve, cool weather shirt or something for Brother Two Post at the thrift stores, because we usually try to, the Lord usually blesses us with everything out of thrift stores or secondhand for the most part.
Yeah.
And I happen to be looking around. It's getting colder and we can't really wait any longer.
Can't
and I
find
found
any.
A nice, it's just a simple
corduroy. We couldn't find anything in the thrift stores, first of all.
Oh, yeah. We couldn't find it. We've been looking for a while.
And they charge like $5, $6, $7.
Which is a really good deal.
Yep.
And so today I just happened to find some decent corduroy ones in the store for actually a pretty good deal.
Brand new.
Yeah, twice the price we would have paid in the thrift store, which is still a really good deal. And so I picked up one for Brother Two Post, and I was thinking, you know, sometimes we got to be careful. We're not getting wrapped up in wanting to do things our ways, like you were just talking about, being flexible. And God provided, maybe not in the way that I was hoping for, you know, because it tried to be a frugal.
Right.
Titus 2 and Brother Two Post also, but we're just thankful. And
yeah, we have the resources. It's a it's a good investment. It'll last me many years. And it's one of those things where you get it done, put it behind you, and focus on other things.
Right.
And you just trust in the Lord, and you be thankful for it.
Oh, right.
So being flexible means that you're willing to do things different and not your way, but the Lord's way. And then I was going to talk about being thankful. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So flexibility and thankfulness kind of go together, don't you think, Sister Amon?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, thankfulness goes a long ways, and if you're thankful, you're probably just automatically going to be flexible.
Yeah, godliness with contentment is great gain. Thankfulness, contentment. I was helping a brother today overcome a few things that he got a lot of things on his plate, or he thinks he has a lot of things on his plate, and I asked him, what do you really have on your plate? And then I asked him to kind of look at what he has and be thankful for him. And after he looked at what he has to be thankful for, rather than looking at the things he has to do, he said, yeah, that was just in the flesh. I shouldn't be that way. And we all can get that way. We look at what we got to do versus what God has done for us. We get carried away and caught up in it.
Oh, it can happen all the time if you're
and
not careful.
Then you can become embittered, and you can become, you can lose your first love that way, because you're taking your eyes off Christ and what he's called you to do, to worry about the things you think you got to do. And those things are minor compared to serving him.
Yeah, you can get disappointed, dejected, and it pulls you away from the thankfulness.
So
yeah.
Flexibility is key. Thankfulness is key in the Christian life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good keys.
What do you got today, Sister Amon? What are you thinking about? What do you want to share?
I was going to say, the other day, sisters and I were talking about having a spiritual aspect on everything we do in our earthly life. I may have touched on this before, but it just kind of popped in my mind. You know, as we go about this what we have to do in our lives, sisters, you know, the earthly things that we have to take care of. Sometimes it's like paperwork or phone calls or appointments or whatever it is that you have to do that you really don't want to
cares
do.
Of this world.
Yeah, because, or jobs, whatever it is that we'd rather be out, you know, in the world doing ministry all the time or whatever it is that we want to do. We can still glorify the Lord and be thankful, but maybe learn a spiritual aspect out of everything that you do. And it kind of makes it, you know, look for something that you can learn from each thing that you're doing every day. And it kind of, it's kind of like a little treasure hunt, you know?
Yeah, you know what? Everything has an eternal aspect to it. And if you have a lot of things in your life that doesn't have an eternal aspect to it, you got to start cleaning out your life.
Right, right. So here's one.
Or changing your outlook.
Yeah, I'll give you an example of this. I was walking over to the produce aisle and I cut down the salad dressing aisle. And I walked by, you know, they got like 4-foot sections. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like 16 feet worth of salad dressings. And I was like, I just stopped and I looked and I thought, if I wanted to get ranch dressing, there's like
37 choices. 15
different kinds of just ranch.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about all the choices. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, I always want to make the right eternal choice for the Lord. And I was thinking Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
You know what that word servant means?
Doulos.
Slave.
Yeah.
We're slaves to Christ.
Does it mean doulos under that servant one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's doulos. It means we're either a slave to our sin or a slave to Christ.
Right. So we want to make a good choice on that. And then I was also thinking about, it just kind of made me think about when I got to the produce department, I was thinking, making a good choice on buying fruits and vegetables in season. So this is kind of Titus 2.
Yep.
But then I was thinking about the word season, in season, kind of hit my mind because I was like, what's going to be going out of season here that if we want to get it before it's gone, because I won't buy out of season things. Being instant, in season, out of season.
Amen.
Always ready to give an answer.
Yeah, and like us, we move with the weather, so we're always following the seasons.
Yeah.
And we watch God's creation, like the geese and stuff, and they move with the season. So we're kind of... we're kind of in tune to that.
Yeah,
and
so
we like that.
I was just thinking, just a few simple things that might make you smile, thinking about how to put eternal lessons and put our mind on eternal things, even though we got to do earthly things.
Yeah, and if in a day you have to make 50 decisions, it's awesome if most of them can be decisions that lean towards eternity rather than decisions that are just corruptible and of the world. So you can do that by whittling your life down so that it's more focused on the things of God, ministry, the brethren, study, going out and sharing the gospel with others rather than like people of the world. I got to run the kids to soccer here. I got to run to baseball here. We're watching a movie. We're going here. We're doing this. They got all these temporal decisions. But
sinful things. Yeah,
the temporal, sinful, corruptible. But Christians are told to be focused on the incorruptible most of all. I know,
right.
We all got to make some. I got to pick a gas station, put gas in a van. I get it. But hopefully I don't have too many of those decisions in my day, and I have more decisions for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Does that make sense, Sister Drummond?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else do you have? Do you have anything else to share?
I have a scripture verse at the end. Well, I do have one more concept, but you probably have something.
Yeah, I wanted to just share, I was talking with another brother about learning how to resist whatever it is, temptations, thoughts, the past, whatever, and then learning to overcome. We've talked about this before. If I said that to you, Sister Amin, how would you explain that? You got to resist, but then you got to overcome. How would you explain that to somebody?
Well, resisting would kind of be like Joseph running off.
Right.
Kind of resisting or avoiding, and resisting would be like resisting the devil and making a choice against whatever it is that's coming against you. And overcoming is strengthening yourself to be able to withstand and go through the trial and temptation and be victorious through it by the power of God.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Does this make sense? Resisting is like the short-term thing. Overcoming is the long-term.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Sometimes we have to resist before we can overcome.
Yeah, so you think about, like, maybe you get a thought of the past in your mind and you go, oh, why am I thinking about that? That's my past. I hate my old life. You got to resist that thought, but then you overcome in your life by filling your life up with more, the things of God, the future, the brethren, ministry, scripture, and you overcome those thoughts by filling your life up with more. So first you have to resist it, then you have to overcome it. And I was thinking about Revelation 21:7. He that overcome, he shall inherit all things, I will be his God, he shall be my son. Mm-hmm. I love that. So think about that in your life. What do you learn to resist? And here's a big problem. A lot of people resist, 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 resist. Look at that. Pretty redundant. They never overcome. They're always going to be resisting, but not overcoming the same thing. I'm talking about the same thing. You got to learn to overcome.
Well, yeah, otherwise we have a powerless God.
Yeah.
I mean, with all we can do all things through Christ. Yep. He gives us our strength.
Yep. And an example would be like resisting is you work at a job that has a lot of temptations for you. And as long as you work there every day, you resist it. That's good. Resist it. How do you overcome? If you can't change your situation, go get a different job. It's causing you to sin and stumble. Now you overcame that temptation and moved it, plucked it, cut it out, ripped it out. So that's kind of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, you no longer have to resist that thing, same thing anymore. So when you overcome something, you no longer have to resist the same thing.
Right. I can use an example with like music. In the beginning, I had to keep resisting. I had to literally plug my ears in the beginning of my walk because I was so fleshly and musical.
Yeah.
And now, every once in a while it twinges up. But for the most part, the Lord has helped me overcome. And now it's just nothing but a noise in the background.
You filled your life up with a lot more. A good example would be this. Ready? You have a brother that you're embittered about. And every time you have a bad thought about him, you're angry, you're full of hate, whatever, unforgiveness. You got to resist those thoughts, mm-hmm. right? And here's how you overcome it. You take it head on with scripture, go to some other brothers, pray about it, whatever you got to do, and realize, I got to forgive him to be forgiven. Once you come to that place where you say, the Lord's forgiven me of much, I got to forgive this guy of just this little thing, forgive him, now you've overcome it.
Yeah, what helped me is greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I trusted that the Lord would, over time, as long as I fought really hard against anything that was a temptation in my life, he would give me strength each time. And now, you and I, we could just blast through this world.
Right.
And yeah, we're not impenetrable. Sometimes we, if we're not careful, but
we're a lot stronger than we were the first year.
Oh yeah, we're ready to just pick up and go pretty much any time.
I told a brother, your skin gets a lot thicker. It's
right.
that it's that Bible crust that builds up. It's that spiritual endurance. It's that you get used to using the Ephesians 6 armor more.
Yeah, I was just thinking
And then you're more prepared. Whereas when you're a believer in the beginning, you maybe barely pick the armor up or you don't even know how to use it. Now you just put it on and you walk through everything, trusting in the Lord more faith maybe, more experience, more wisdom, more knowledge in the scriptures. All of those things help build your faith.
Does and seeing the world through biblical eyes, through the Word of God, seeing sin for sin and what it is, and it becomes not a temptation anymore, it becomes something you abhor.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, think about that. Resisting and overcoming, that will help you a lot in your life. Sister Emma, what's your other point you said you had you wanted to talk about?
Oh, it was just something simple.
Simple's good. Simplicity in Christ is really good.
I love that, yeah. I was just thinking about this. A brother brought Psalm 1. To the gathering. And when I first read that as a new believer, I mean, to me, I was an open book. I didn't even know the Bible was the Word of God. So when I started reading it, it was like so super awesome to me. And when I read Psalm 1, it was a confirmation to me as a new believer that I was on the right path away from my family, because I was just going to read it. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I saw my family as sinners and scornful, and I know it doesn't say mockers in there, but they were like all the wicked, worldly people I used to be, and they hadn't changed, and they could care less about the things of God, and I wanted to meditate on his law day and night.
Yeah.
But when I read that scripture verse, I was like, it says, don't be like sitting in there by them, with them, whatever. And in my mind, I was like, don't be sitting there wasting your time thinking
about
it.
Like bad company corrupts, 1 Corinthians 15:33.
Yeah, meditate
too many people.
On him.
And we talked about that with a brother, biblical separation. That's why God says separate from people that claim Christ but don't live biblically, because they will infect you with leaven.
Oh, yeah.
And then be careful how close you are with the people of the world. Yep, we have a few relationships with maybe some blood family or something that aren't Christians, but they aren't mockers, and we have loose association with them, but we're not very close with them. Because if we were to hang out with them, we're going to end up partaking in their sin.
Yeah, it drains you too.
Yep, and you have nothing in common.
Yeah, right.
You can see them for a while here and there, and then you might get to witness a little bit here and there, and then it's time to move on until the day when they're interested in the things of God. You just have nothing in common.
Mm-hmm.
So we're living for the kingdom of God. They're living for in Satan's kingdom.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that's something to consider. Good point, Sister Amen. Did you have your scripture verse you wanted to share?
I do. Right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Romans 6:22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your own fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life.
I love that.
I like that. At the end of the sentence, it says everlasting life, and it says in the end everlasting.
Everlasting
yeah,
life.
Yeah, like a double yeah. one right there. Yeah. yeah, that everlasting life. What a hope. And what a joy.
Yeah, we're set free, and now we serve God to eternal life.
I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just wanted to close out. There's a lot of things going on in the nation of Israel these days, October 2023. They're at war with their enemies. We talked about it the other day. I just wanted to bring up this fact that if you ever need faith, help, if you ever need help in having faith in the Bible, and God's Word, the Bible, think about this. 2,500 years ago, men... some people say goat herders, in the desert and prophets, wrote about a day in the future when Israel, in the last days, right when the Lord returns, his second coming, would be surrounded by her enemies, hating her, ready to destroy her. That is exactly what we have going on today. And she was not a nation for 2,000 years, became a nation about 70, 80 years ago, 1948. And how true the Word of God is, and how precise, and I think we're living in the last days where the nations are coming up against Israel. Now, I'm going to read a section of scripture here. Some say, I don't know if I would say this, but could be. Some say this hints of a nuclear war that's going to take place around Israel. Ready? Zechariah, verse 1, and then verse 12. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and they spoil, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. So it's talking about the day of the Lord. And then verse 12 says this. And this shall be the plague whereafter the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, that would be their eye sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. If you read stories about what happened when the nuclear bomb went off in Hiroshima, that's what happened to people that were near the blast. Their eyes melted, their skin melted off their bones, and they were consumed by the nuclear blast. So some people say that's a hint of nuclear war. Could be. I can't say it dogmatically. But that's what's coming. I believe nuclear war, World War III, is coming to the world one day. It's inevitable. Man and his sinfulness and all the weapons and the hatred, it's coming. And I think the Antichrist, that's when the Antichrist will come in. He'll probably bring a peace treaty. And then that's when the world's going to go into the Great Tribulation. So we'll see about all that. But one thing's for sure, you can trust in the Word of God. It's so specific, and it gives us all these prophecies of Israel and of Christ's coming. So I encourage you to study the Word of God, and your faith will be grown by it. Last thing I would say is, one thing is for sure, you better get your life right with Christ right now. All you seekers, you better repent and obey Christ, be born of Him. All you saints, you better be testing yourself, striving in spirit and truth, because why? Well, if you don't live for Him today, with all that you are, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not going to die for Him tomorrow. You think that's true, Sister Amen?
Yeah, a lot of people say, oh yeah, it'd probably be easier to die than to have to deal with people here on this earth, but they're deceived.
Yeah, people won't give up their TV, their football, their pride, their vanity, and they think they're going to put their neck in a guillotine for Christ tomorrow. It just isn't going to be so.
Uh-uh.
Work while it's day, saints. Get your life, your spiritual house, get everything in order. Let go of the things of this world now, and when the day comes when you got to lose your life, you'll have already done that business for the Lord, and you'll be ready to go. If you're holding on to the things of the world, you're not going to let them go. You're going to be double-minded. You're going to lose your soul.
Yeah.
So that's just my admonition to you. Hold fast, all of you saints of the Lord. We're here to help you, and just take heart. In these last days of troublesome times and wars and all types of things, Sister Amma, did you know our God reigns?
I love that.
Amen.
That's awesome, yeah.
Anything else, Sister Amen? Any thoughts on that?
Now I'm just thinking we're on the winning side.
Amen.
I mean, that's pretty encouraging, yep. Isn't it?
Go look up my article on promises of the book of Revelation. Then go read the last two pages of the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christ wins. He's going to vanquish all evil. But there is a terrible time coming of purging in between that. And so we'll be starting the book of Revelation one of these days, going through it verse by verse. So hopefully you are seeking the kingdom of God with all that you are.
Amen. Go forth, sister saints, and serve him with everything that you have, because he's worthy.
Amen.
And I love you all.
Yep, we love you all. We got to go. We have a gathering, and we'll have some audios to put up the Ecclesia gathering area. What's at the top today, Sister Amen, of our page, on the edification page?
I did a little Titus 2 post about some simple van life cooking things.
Nice.
You can click on the picture up there, and then there's a video of flowers and nice. Maybe something else. I haven't finished it yet.
Check
I
it out.
Add as we go.
All those resources there to help you, and we'll keep adding to it as the Lord gives us the will to do it.
Praise God.
Love you all. Hold fast.
May God be praised.